Mayor.
Hello and welcome to Cinema Subculture, a podcast where we discuss everything strange, obscure and downright messed up in the world of movies. And Merry Christmas.
Ho ho ho. I'm Santa Simon.
I'm Reindeer Gary.
Yep, that's right, peeps. We Gary kept up his part of the deal. He's currently wearing a big set of red reindeer antler. And I'm wearing a backup Santa hat that I managed to find. We post pictures up on Facebook, Gary. We're going to try and get some pictures up.
Right.
So people can see that we actually genuinely did this. We are now sporting the first ever alcohol for our podcast, Gary. Would that be fair enough?
That's true.
I've had my warm mince pie. Yeah, that was yum.
Right.
Good. I was getting into the mood. And we're getting merry, Gary, aren't we?
Right.
It's a good time of year. Gary's got the decorations
most
up in the room.
Time, some most, people say.
Well, that's true, Gary. So, welcome to the Christmas party. Eh? Gary's going to pop in some music bit in the background and some people talking and things like that, you know, and party noise, you know. It's just really me and him. But here we are anyway. Christmas special. So, and for a Christmas special, Gary, which film have we chosen? Because remember, this is a film podcast.
Yep. We've chosen Rare Exports, A Christmas Tale.
We have indeed.
It's a dark take on the Christmas movie.
Indeed. I thought it was kind of appropriate for us. Neither of us had seen it, but I had picked it up fairly recently on Blu-ray. So do you, I mean, is that enough of a synopsis, do you think, Gary? The dark take on the Christmas story? You want to give any more than that?
Well, it's supposedly based on the Finnish tradition of the real Santa.
Right, oh yeah.
He's actually a bit of a sort of an evil guy.
Evil cunt,
He steals children.
And supposedly. He smacks the fuck out of their ass, doesn't he? Smacks the fists.
That's so.
Oof.
I looked it up.
All right.
On Wikipedia. According to that, I don't know if this is verified.
Sure.
Didn't have any citations.
Sure.
But supposedly the original Finnish Father Christmas was called Joulupukki, which translates as Christmas goat.
Right.
Or Yule goat. Ooh. And supposedly it's the tradition is people would dress up as goats and perform for leftover food.
Right.
There you go.
Okay. It's a bit random.
Mm.
And that,
what it's based on.
So, how does that translate to Santa Claus? Begging for food and giving gifts?
Mm.
Or do they not give gifts? Is it just punishment?
I think so. Because I was kind of doing a bit of research. Supposedly, I mean, Santa is a slight difference between Father Christmas and Santa.
Right.
Santa's the pure Western version. The jolly man gives gifts and that.
Okay.
And Father Christmas is like the older tradition. It's not necessarily the same type of thing.
Okay, it's not the same
guy.
Yeah, right, yeah. Okay. Not like a, more of a, less of a present guy, more of a kind of, half my Christmas, you bastard
means,
kind of thing. You know, and, you know, set it off my grass, kind of thing.
Mm.
Right, got you. A janitor of Christmas.
Right.
He's like, yeah, don't play with that ball there, you swines.
Right.
You know, remember the janitor? Don't slide in that ice, I'm sorting that. Putting some grit on it, there you go, that'll teach his wains.
Aye.
Aye. No broken bones in my play yard. Anyway, thanks for that history lesson,
right,
Gary.
Go.
That's got us in. Oofed. So, I recommended this film. It was based on, like, the guy did two short films.
Mm. So that's Rare Exports, Inc.
Yes.
And Rare Exports, Inc. Official Safety Instructions.
Official Safety Instructions. Aye. Now, we'll come to the shorts in a bit. Yeah, we'll talk about the film and
right.
Come to the shorts a little bit later on. So, what did you think?
Really enjoyed the film. It's actually the first Finnish film I've seen.
Oh, right, right. Same here then, yeah. I guess that must be. I'm doubtful I'll have seen another Finnish film that you haven't seen.
The only other one that I've heard of is was a Finnish filmmaker called Aki Kaurismäki, who I've heard of, but I've never seen his film. And there's that film Iron Sky that came out
Right,
this year.
right.
I've heard of that, but
no.
That's only, I was looking through Finnish films.
Yeah.
That's all I could come up with. First film with a naked Santa in it as well.
Well, not multiple.
Well, that I've seen anyway.
Yeah. true. Again, I don't know if I've seen any pornos.
Right.
Oh, no, I should probably say I've never seen a porno with a naked Santa.
Right.
That's the one. Very good. Huh?
First time for everything.
Definitely.
Yep. Thought it was kind of essentially a coming of age story.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I got a Spielberg vibe from it.
Yeah, have you seen Super 8?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good film.
Aye.
I like that film. Thingy, what's her name? Is it Ellie Fanning?
Right.
Dakota Fanning's wee sister. She's brought in that film. I thought she was really good. So it definitely had that kind of like E.T.-esque. Like something's in the barn kind of thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was not quite what I was expecting. I'd heard of it. I thought it was more of a straight horror. Actually,
I thought it was more like the short films, the premise of them. I thought it was more like that. It's definitely a reimagining of that concept, but I thought it was more like when we eventually watched them.
Right. Yeah.
You know, the story behind that.
Yeah. It dealt with comedy quite well. It wasn't, because the shorts are more straight up comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I felt, but this was kind of weaved it in more. I thought it so quite effectively. Mm-hmm. It wasn't too all like jokes, because you want to keep that balance. It was kind of. But a few horror elements in there. Mm-hmm. But
I guess I was expecting more of a similar tone to something like The Right One In. For some reason, I had that in my head.
Oh, yeah, get that vibe totally.
I was expecting more of a kind of, you know, that film. It's more. There's not so much comedy in that. There are funny moments, but it's definitely played a little straighter and a little more serious than necessarily this film. Mm. But I was expecting that. But you know, still really enjoyed it. You know what I mean? I thought this. Santa, you know, the Santa figure was quite skinny as well, you know what I mean? Skinny Santas.
That's true.
Sorry.
That's it. It definitely got a vibe of, like, Let the Right One In. Mm-hmm. That sort of Scandinavian coming of age. There's films like My Life's a Dog, Mononc Antoine, which is actually a Canadian film, but sort of a snowbound youthful protagonist.
Got you.
Christmassy set. Yeah, enjoyed it.
Yeah, definitely. It wasn't quite what I was expecting, but I was kind of pleasantly surprised with the kind of light elements that kind of, you know, peppered amongst it. I specifically liked the little boy when he got all his get up on, his kind of war.
Right,
his war suit, and he had that like cardboard patch cardboard for his ass, which I never really realised that like halfway through the film. He'd said to like his pal, when was the last time you were spanked for being bad? Because that's the image he sees of Santa in the book is spanking the kids. And them like kind of having bleeding arses or whatever. And he's got like this kind of patch that he's kind of sellotaped across his ass, like the cardboard. And I thought that was genius. I thought that was really fun. I didn't really notice it till like halfway. I was like, oh, that's why he was asking about the spanking thing, because I think he was trying to get his pal to wear one as well. But I thought it was quite creepy again, I guess it was playing it kind of light with the, you know, a wee bit of comedy in there when the kids started going missing, and they went up to the wee boy's room, his pal, and he was gone, and it was like the doll that was left, and like the parents were like, "Oh yeah, buddy, he's fine,
right.
It's a big boy,
right.
He'll get him somehow," saying he's out chasing the birds and things. But I quite liked the portrayal of like Santa, like see when they had him like caught. You know, when he starts, that was quite creepy. But I was waiting, I kept waiting them going full on, like, I don't know, like Pharaoh on them, you know what I mean? Like just attacking them. But it's quite interesting with the smell on the children and stuff.
He wasn't bothered about the adults, sir.
No. Oh, you liked the gingerbread, though.
That's all, yeah.
Those guys are pretty funny. Like, the guy gets his ear more or less bit off.
That's true, yeah.
And like, he's just outside and he's like, "You don't want to fucking get in there." But yeah, I thought that was quite interesting. Like, look at the picture of the guy in his jacket. And they're saying he's an American.
Oh, right, okay.
Right. And look at him like, like he's let himself really go, you know what I mean?
Right.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, the main thing that I didn't like about the film it wasn't a major thing, but you've got the sort of sections with the excavation crew.
Aye. Mm-hmm.
Sort of two or three sort of scenes. I felt there was a bit of a disjoint between
Definitely.
The rest of the story, which mm-hmm. was more like quite a subtle like coming of age thing. It was about the relationship between the son and his dad,
mm-hmm.
which is done really well. But whenever it cut, there's a few times it cut would cut back to the excavation crew, and it almost felt like a different film.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like something out of sort of a sci-fi like exploitation.
It almost felt like The Thing.
The Thing definitely was a point of reference. Yeah,
something that didn't help that was the fact that they were talking English as well.
That's true. And I felt that guy, like the main excavator, not the guy that mm-hmm. was like sort of wanting to see what was he,
yeah.
the guy that knew what was in there, had his. I don't know if it was his performance or just the way he delivered lines. It was like way too broad.
Mm-hmm.
That contrast between like the subtlety of the rest of the
yeah.
characters was like, I don't know what's going on there.
It was weird as well because when they go up to like kind of have words with the team that's up there, and it seems to be abandoned almost as if everyone's been like killed, right?
Aye.
And then you think, and there's no one there,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden it cuts to later on.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the team's there and they're at a different place.
Aye.
And the like the kind of well Santa's little helpers come and
yeah,
and
yeah.
Like get them. You know what I mean? It's I wonder what was happening with that a wee bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that definitely felt disjointed from like well, where was that? Because it made it as if like the team had been attacked already.
Aye.
And were gone.
Yeah, yeah.
And
then the scene where the guy, the sort of scientist or whatever, like he gives like a big speech. It's like a scene when he's sort of. Basically standing on a mountain range, mm-hmm. seeing the mountain range in the back,
yeah.
and it just felt like a bit campy. And
remember it? Yeah.
I mean, that stuff is okay in itself, but it was a bit transitioning to the other stuff was a wee bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was quite effective, but.
Did you think that you know the kind of safety rules within the film?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they're within the short films.
Yeah, yeah.
But how do you think they worked? Within this, I mean, it was kind of an interesting nod to the whole like Santa mythos,
right?
Right, but like, I don't know if it was if you hadn't seen. I mean, I watched the shorts after I'd seen the film, so I don't know how well that was integrated into the plot, having not seen those.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't. I watched the film, then I watched the shorts, then I watched them again.
Mm-hmm.
So that basically just went over my head the first time, mm-hmm. but the second time it's like, okay, I see what it. What they mean, the safety mm-hmm. instructions, but in the world of the film, how would that guy know?
Because
mm-hmm. essentially that these guys have been buried for
mm-hmm.
hundreds of years, something like that.
Are we led to believe that Santa's little helpers
are they out and about?
Are they down in the hole as well?
I think
are they,
so,
are they buried as well?
Yeah, yeah.
Because if they're not frozen, then how are they kept there? You know, Santa's meant to be frozen.
Right. Unless they're not in the... In like a higher layer or something, because there's definitely a scene where there's like carnage with the excavation crew.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but I don't know whether that's them being drawn towards Santa. You know, like going back to the world of the shorts, the fact that these Father Christmas is
right, roam free.
That felt like an episode of Ren and Stimpy.
Right,
the Lummox.
Okay, right.
But going back to that, if they're just out there. It's maybe the fact that they were drawn towards, because once, well, at the climax, they seem to be kind of sated, you know, when that's not there anymore. So maybe, I don't know what, you know, whether they meant to be, but that's again, that's, I mean, it's not that important that that's explained, but it was just, with the disconnect with the excavation team, you don't know whether, it looks like they've been off before we see it happening.
Right.
But the guy that comes, that seems to be in charge or like paying payroll in the whole excavation, right. He knows, he seems to know what's going on.
Aye.
I don't know, yeah. So I don't know how that, like, again, if we go with what the little boy in the film, like how he, you know, comes across the story and portrays it to his friends, that. Like the people that were around then knew about Santa and they intentionally trapped him in the lake, in the ice, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then the rules must be known. But then I seemed like it was a long time ago.
Yeah, because you wouldn't really have smoking
yeah,
alcohol.
Yeah, yes, that sort of thing. And like, certainly that back then it wouldn't have been quite as frowned upon as it is nowadays. So right. Santa had been like, ah, it's all right.
Yeah.
It's all right. Smoke away.
Aye.
Smoking up, John. Right. No.
Maybe that's a wee slight weakness. It doesn't really matter because, in
I feel
the
like
sense
that,
of
that it's meant to be more of a nod to people who have seen the.
Yeah, that's it.
To seen the shorts.
I think it does benefit to see the shorts because I wasn't really sure what was going on at the end, the first time.
Yeah.
It makes it more. You clear. Understand it more once that you realise it's industry. Yeah, supposedly.
Yes,
yeah, yeah.
Aye. I felt when I watched the short, I kind of it's like almost like the film's a prequel to the short.
Yeah.
Or second
yeah,
short
yeah.
anyway.
Aye.
Yeah, it definitely kind of worked better within the context of knowing that. I can like again like the. I mean, again, if you've not seen it, then don't listen to the podcast, God's sake. Go watch the film first. But like the short film, like the way they handled the kind of teaching of the Santa,
right?
I thought that was that worked better than actually in the film.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it worked in the film because you had the line and stuff like that. But the way it was almost like Father Jack from Father Ted,
right?
But when he was like had the doll of the child in his hand, and he was like kind of looking around and just started munching on its head. It was really funny. But as I say, the premise of the shorts, I thought that was what I was being sold on as the premise of the film.
Right.
About, like, feral Santa Clauses that they capture, or a feral Santa Claus that they capture, or hunt, you know?
Mm.
So that was kind of what I was getting expecting, so it was kind of weird, like, the way I was seeing it turn out, you know?
Right, yeah.
And when you actually get the reveal and the kind of twist, the end, more near the end, that's not, those Santa's little helpers aren't Santa, I was kind of disappointed.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, I was a bit disappointed that you didn't really, all you got to see was the horns.
Big horns, aye. Dude, I thought it was a bit overkill with all the dynamite into the,
right.
into the ice as well. he's a bit big, wasn't he?
He was big, yeah.
Don't know, that was, it didn't hurt the film because it worked, the rest of it could have worked, but I was kind of disappointed when I found out that those weren't. It made sense that the Santa's little helpers and that kind of. It was kind of cool, but I was kind of disappointed that that wasn't meant to be the feral Santa.
Yeah.
just a brief break there for top up on the old beer. don't want to let that run down, Gary. You know what I mean?
Oh, no.
No, no.
You want a constant flow there?
That's the man. Like, never have you and I been more in sync. Constant flow of beer.
The perennial can.
I'm giving Gary the psycho eyes now. The perennial can. Or a bottle, Gary.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Whatever.
Aye, just keep it flowing.
Yeah, yeah.
Get one of the hats with the cans on either side and the straw. Right. Which I done. How did you feel that the relationship with the dad and the boy, obviously that was the kind of main focus of the kind of the series part of the film.
Aye.
Obviously it was kind of like the boy's guilt over the leaving the hole in the fence and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
In the scene where with the dad when they wish each other Merry Christmas and Christmas Eve and the wee boy obviously thinks he's gone he might never see his dad again because he's going to be getting killed by this feral Santa
right
and like, the dad's obviously worried about like how is he going to provide
yeah
I thought that was quite good like, cause they're
that's
both,
a really good scene
like, they're both really like detached from each other
aye
but they're both in the same kind of place.
Yeah, yeah.
Emotionally.
I like how it explores that. There's a scene where the dad just looks, opens the oven and he's burnt the turkey.
Aye.
And he just slams the door and then he's just like, is that a size and leans in the counter?
Aye.
But it's like, no dialogue.
Yeah.
But it explores that. It gives you that emotion.
You know exactly,
that, yeah,
you know exactly what's going on. You left that in for the night of four. Is that how long,
right.
long you have to cook a turkey for? He's a butcher as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you would ken, wouldn't you?
Oh,
that was a hefty trap he made, wasn't it?
What's so?
A wolf trap.
I was thinking about the one you in the fire there, but the one you're trying to
do. Oh, that as well? Was that the boy doing that?
I think so,
that?
Yeah.
That's like hefty. Man, my father would have killed me if I didn't that. What did he have done? What in the fire? You know what I mean?
Aye.
I just set up this shotgun to kill Santa, you know what I mean? Holy crap. how did the wee boy even set that up? You know, you've got to be pretty strong to set one of those bear traps
true,
up. Anyway.
Aye.
Let that pass, let that fly.
Right. No, it dealt with it explored that in a sort of classic sort of Spielberg way where it's the children who are kind of they see what's really going on, where the adults are in a kind of chaotic world that it's what either like divorced parents or like
loss
if you're the
or...
ET, if you get divorced parents and like some like the Goonies, like the sort of Amblin films, which are sort of Spielbergian.
Yeah.
In that film, like the the parents are losing the house, mm-hmm. and the kids like eventually save the day.
Yeah.
Or it's like Super 8 as well.
Yeah, it's a death of
yeah, yeah. So you've got the sort of child protagonist who is sort of
thrust into that leadership
yeah,
role.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of unusual. They're seeing the truth, but ironically, the truth is sort of like that Santa is actually real. It's kind of like a double negative.
They did
thing,
come yeah. around quite quickly, didn't
right,
they?
Yeah.
It seemed to be as soon as he started sniffing the kid.
Yeah.
They kind of believed him.
Right.
But it was kind of like whereas the truth for the kids empowered them.
Mm.
Or for the boy, it was really the main boy, because the other kids, they were still dumb as fuck. But for the main kid who believed the whole time, the truth empowered him and enabled him to basically save the day at the end.
Yeah,
whereas
the
truth for the adults totally put them into the kind of background.
Yeah.
And made, you know what I mean? It didn't give them the same kind of power or knowledge of what to do. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a bit of an irony, like the coming of age is actually realising that Santa exists.
Yeah. totally.
Yeah, it's a bit of a kind of something like Last One Train might do as well.
Yeah.
Like the supposed naive character is the mm-hmm. one who eventually sort of
becomes,
reigns in the end.
But I quite like the kind of the conclusion as well with the reindeer pen and things like that, and the way that kind of came around.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought it was really nicely shot, especially at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, you know, like a lot of the kind of cinematography was really nice.
Aye.
And like the snow, I mean, really, it's hard to go wrong when you get that. You know, it's the snow. You know, that
right,
is
yeah,
similar
yeah.
to the one, and it just looks gorgeous. You know
aye.
What I mean? What do you think his wee friend that was kind of, he's a bit of a dick, wasn't he? At first.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was a bit annoying.
Thank you for him.
Nah.
Sure.
He wasn't up for telling the truth, wasn't he? No. He wanted to tell the truth and take his lumps. But he wasn't up for it at all.
I need a mullet.
More reasons to hate him.
That's what I was wondering. Is it, when's it actually meant to be set? It's not really explicit.
Oh, right. Like time.
I'm wondering if it was in the 80s or something.
Yeah. I think you definitely got that feel, but it's hard. Yeah. It's hard to tell because of where it's set,
yeah,
and the kind of environment it's set in, because that's kind of, I get the feeling that could be almost modern as well. You know what I mean?
Aye.
Just depending.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like kind of similar kind of vibe to like frontier, you know, America and the kind of, you know, the cattle ranchers. You know what I mean?
Aye.
Similar kind of setup.
Yeah.
You feel that they probably still kind of live. You know, quite like a kind of like laid back kind of life, you know what I mean?
Could be. Because there's that scene where somebody mentions a hairdryer. He says, like, wife's hairdryer went missing.
Yeah.
And then the police chief sort of says something like, that piece of trash technology or something.
Ah, right, yeah.
He goes,
yeah,
state
yeah,
of the
yeah.
art from Russia or something.
That's right, yeah.
I love it at the end that he finds it at the end.
Yeah,
and then it's just like a really subtle piece of business. It's just cool. It's like sticks in his belt.
I really liked that, the broken English of that guy.
Right.
When he was trying to shout at the Santa and then when he was telling the guy. But that was really funny. They're trying to, like, understand each other.
Right.
And the guy didn't even know why he was there, like, to make a deal and stuff like that. I quite like stuff like that. That was good.
Yeah, all the performances are really good. Except for what I said,
the
other guys.
Even the kid, the wee boy that played the main boy, even in that short, like he looked a lot younger. Well, not a lot younger, but maybe like a year younger or something
right,
like that.
Aye.
He was pretty small anyway, pretty young. And even the short, he holds up. You know what I mean?
Oh,
he's kind of. I get the feeling that's where the whole idea came from. Was that second short? You know, to change it slightly into the boy's story rather than
these
hunters, because I think the father son bit at the end of that short, the second short, is basically that's the kind of 0 hour for the whole idea.
Mm.
There's that father son relationship and then coming into it, and probably making it into the kind of Spielbergian fare that we get. So, like, the short film, the first one was released in 2003.
Right.
It was actually a commercial, it was like a, I'm looking for.
Yeah, was it a commercial company that they worked for?
Yeah, they worked for, and it was basically like a kind of, a thank you video, right, or something like that. Yeah, yeah, basically that's what it was. It was a guy, they worked for the company, or did he work for the company, or did they hire him to do it? I'm not sure. But so that's basically, as I say, that's the kind of the marker, the sniper, and the tracker.
Right, right.
Got it here.
Okay.
And as I say, that's kind of what I was expecting from the main film.
Right.
I think that worked quite well in the first shot, but the second shot I loved. I thought that was great, the safety. See when the one bit, I think it's when he's drinking the alcohol, he said, you know, never drink and swear. Right. He smashes a bottle on the ground, and I just knew exactly what was going to happen, and the box just busts open and he flies through the air. I thought that was amazing. That, again, gave me elements of Father Jack from Father Ted. That just was like, that's perfect. And as I say, the kind of the training bit in the first one was just, that was really good as well. It really made me chuckle. But I mean, all the kind of elements are there in the second short, you know, the short, the gingerbread, and you know, the kind of, once you've upset a Father Christmas, you can't, there's no going back. Once I've tasted human flesh. I get the impression that could have been almost like they could have taken that, like, the film a more pure horror route with that. Or like, well, not pure horror, but like, it would be interesting to see them take that idea a bit further as well. and it's nice how it kind of ties up at the end of the film with the kind of export of the Santas.
Right, aye.
It's a bit weird, but and it's a bit where he's in the film, they're talking about how much you get for so many reindeer.
Right.
It's like 85,000, and they're like talking about like 426 Santas for Father Christmas. How much for one? How much for 426 Santas or something? Right. And the guy's like 85,000. I was like, what are you getting that figure from?
Yeah.
And they send them to like all different countries. It's crazy. But it works. You let it go because it, I don't know. It works, that scene at the end when they're on the line and the guy's going past with his son, kind of clapping him in the head and stuff like that. Oh, let's see. Well, it was fun. It definitely brought a smile to my face. And it's weird because it turned into a kind of more of a Christmas film than I thought. You know, more kind of a traditional Christmas feeling from it than I thought it was going to get.
I mean, in a lot of ways, it feels like a family film, but it's got a few elements that raise it to, is it a 15?
I think so.
Yeah.
Santa penis, I think that's kind of the main one, isn't it, really?
Yeah. But in many ways, it's like a classic Spielberg type thing.
All in all, pretty good.
Yeah, really, pacing's really good. It's only 8 minutes.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah, it's really, definitely.
It's technically pretty sound.
Definitely, aye.
What do you think of CGI?
I actually thought it wasn't bad. Right. When it started cutting to it, I noticed it. I did notice it. But I thought this could go really ropey.
Aye.
But it wasn't too bad.
Aye.
I definitely noticed the bits, but it wasn't distracting. You know, it didn't take me right out of it. Like that. There was one bit with the bag of children.
Okay.
Like swings right up and round. Right. And I thought that looked a bit kind of, that didn't sit well with me. But like, other than that, it works fairly well.
It wasn't noticeable with CGI, but
I mean,
was it?
It wasn't the end of the world.
Low budget, I would think.
Budget was about 1.8 million euro.
Okay.
So it didn't take me out of it, but I did notice it.
Aye.
But it wasn't a film breaker. I thought it was a bit kind of. I really thought this wee boy's going to sacrifice himself. How's this guy letting him do that? I don't understand. It was really weird at that point. And then they just started, like, it was funny when they were like throwing the gingerbread at them, and they were dropping their weapons, and they picked up the gingerbread. Oh, go deep.
Yeah, I love that. The guy walks at the door, and then the other pal comes out and goes, just slaps the gingerbread in his hand.
It was pretty funny. I say it was, I think the bit that I was most intrigued at was when they had him in the room, and like, you didn't know what was going to happen, as I say. And then when he's crouched down,
right,
and then when he stood up, when the wee boy came in and stuff like that, that was pretty creepy. Again, that could have been taken a whole other way than what this film went.
Aye,
but I mean, it went really cheesy, you know, really kind of bad. But I mean, that's what I was kind of not that I was expecting to be bad. I was expecting to be more of a kind of about this feral Santa,
right? Aye,
almost like a, I guess a slasher, really, Santa, but like. not disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely a fun film. So, does that wrap us up for the film, do you think, Gary?
I think so.
Yeah. It's hard from nothing really to criticise.
Aye.
But and it's too, it's Christmas. You don't want it to be slagging folk off at Christmas.
That's it.
You know what I mean? I personally think I enjoyed maybe some of the elements in the shorts a bit more than the actual right. film. Some, just like some of the, I say that I really enjoyed the second short. And I maybe wish they'd pulled some of the ideas over.
Okay.
A bit more. But it's definitely, it definitely works as that kind of like Spielbergian take on the kind of Santa Claus.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of thing. A fun, fun movie. Good, good, good. Well done. Well done. Merry Christmas.
Okay, and now it's time for
random shit. So this is a random shit where we talk about Gary random shit. So we'll go with our first news article. Arrow Video, after the success of the Zombie Flesh Eaters release, they were wondering if people would be up for doing, like, if they did a Kickstarter to try and do like a full remaster of a, maybe another riskier title.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about it, you and I. I mean, I think it's a great idea. I suppose they say, like, right, you guys, let me just say that there are maybe like 2,000, between 2,000 and 5,000 core audience, right? Maybe more, maybe less, right? Let's say it's that. And if they get everyone, like, if the 2,000, they get £20 from everyone, right? That's like 40,000 pound, right? I don't know how much a HD remaster is, but say, let's say that funded it, and every one of those people, or like more than funds it, maybe, and every one of those people, that's them basically bought their Blu-ray.
Right.
It's a really, to me, it's a nice way for Arrow to kind of say, right, we're willing to do these other titles, but we need to know you're willing to buy them first. Because if we do it and lose a shitload of money on it, because no one buys it, we're going to end up going out of business.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think it's, I mean, I don't know what titles are talking about, but I'd definitely be up for this. I mean, you can check it out on their Facebook page. I think it's just facebook.com/arrowfilmandvideo, is it?
I'm not sure.
I think it's Arrow Film and Video. Okay. It's quite, I found it quite hard to find it first. But people should check it out because it's an interesting prospect. They're not saying that's all we're going to release in the future, which would be a bit kind of, as I say, holding the gun to the people's heads, but they seem to be just saying, like, there are titles, obviously, people are shouting for, but they need to make sure people are definitely going to willing to commit to buy before they put out the money.
Yeah. Something I'm kind of talking about.
Yeah, you said this.
Depending on the title, I think it's maybe worth doing, but it just seems to be subverting the relationship, because that's, you should be paying for that and I buy the disc. That's how this works. But if it's something that's not going to be released otherwise, then maybe.
Well, I mean, that's what I kind of took from it, that it's something that they probably couldn't put money into themselves.
Yeah.
You know, like, they couldn't justify putting that much money into a riskier title unless they knew the market was there for it. Because I say, if they release something really risky and everyone waits till it comes down to £7 from like £17 or whatever, they're going to lose shitloads of money.
Aye. Don't know, the thing to think about is maybe if a film doesn't exist in a good enough transfer, then maybe Arrow's just say that you can't release that just now and just wait it out. But then that maybe means films don't get released for years. But
as I say, if they were saying like this, and we're going this Kickstarter route and that's all we're going to do, you know, if you guys buy it, we'll release it. I would say, yeah, you're right. That's not the way to do it. Definitely not the way to do it. But they're basically just saying there are films that will probably never come out. You know what I mean? And we're willing to do them, but we need to know that we're going to sell them. Otherwise, we can't justify putting the kind of money they put into the Zombie Flesh Eaters. Zombie Flesh Eaters, to me, it wasn't that big of a risk for them because they knew they had at least their core 2,000, either in the Steelbook, the limited edition, or the standard dual format. They were going to get that. And as I say, by all accounts, it seems to, I mean, it's getting rave reviews. Aye. I mean, the Blu-ray itself. So I'm up for this if it gets good releases of kind of rare titles, you know what I mean?
If you're going to get the Blu-ray free, though, if that's a deal, would you not have to pay for the Blu-ray and pay the the restoration costs.
Well, see, now that's
because if you chip in for the restoration, if it's cost, say, $40,000, mm-hmm. then they're not making any money off the
sure,
the blu-ray.
Well, that's where I think that they need to be smart about it, because right. they need to say that it's, let's say it was $28,000, right. that stuck in my head for some reason,
okay.
that it costs to remaster this film, right? Mm-hmm. Any film, right? So they say, right, well, we need to get like 2,000 people to pledge £20 each.
Right.
Now, for your £20, they have to give rewards on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Right? Now, sometimes it's as little as a thanks. So, like, films do it all the time, like, you know, a credit, an executive producer credit. Anyway, they have to give the reward as the Blu-ray, a disc.
Right.
They have to give that. To me, that's the only way they have to go. And then if they raise their 2,000 pledges of £20 each, it makes $40,000, they're covering their cost, well, for the restoration anyway.
Yeah.
And they're still making a profit out of it, right? And then beyond that, they can still sell the title.
Right.
You know what I mean? But to me, it can't be we pledge £20 or whatever, or whatever we want to pledge. I mean, I think they have to leave it open so that people can pledge more if they want, because, I mean, that only makes sense, right? Some people want to give them whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to, like, at least reward you with a copy of the film.
Yeah.
To me, that's the only way they can do it, because otherwise, it is like you're saying, they're taking advantage of the distribution or the label relationship that they have with the customer. I don't think that's a style, but I wouldn't like to think that's what they would do. And I wouldn't be in for that.
Aye.
I'm all up for buying my copy up front and saying, listen, I'm there for yous. If I want this title, I'm there, I'm going to buy it. I'm in for my 20 or whatever. But I'm not up for I'm paying for the restoration and paying for the disc, no way.
Right.
Not up for that. So if it's that, then I'm out.
Mm.
Don't buy Arrow. but as I say,
Dragon's Den or something.
Aye, that's it. but I think that's the only logical way they can go with it. To me, as I say, I don't know what their business plan is. They haven't given much detail on the whole thing, sorry.
No.
As I say, it would have been nice to know how much a restoration cost so that you could say, okay, I'm in. Because if it's going to end up, everyone's going to have to pay like £200 or something like that. No one's going to do that to me.
Mm-hmm.
But paying for your Blu-ray disc up front, I'm up for. If it was a film I was interested in, definitely.
I mean, are you on your Facebook there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how many likes they got?
Yeah, like 139.
139?
139.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that all?
Aye.
Fucking hell.
Well, sorry. I meant for that post. Sorry.
Oh, right.
You mean for that show?
Yeah.
For that show page, right? Hold on.
Is that kind of rough gauge of the fan base?
Talking about 3,022. So, I mean, yeah, I think you're not everyone's on Facebook.
No.
You know what I mean? No, we've only got like so many likes or whatever, but like, we've got loads of
loads more downloads
than that.
Fuck yes.
So check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/cinemasubculture. So I'm up for it. As I say, I think it's a good idea.
Yes, yeah, an interesting idea.
I think it's good for rare titles that might never have come to Blu-ray or get like a remaster. Wait and see what happens. Hopefully, as I say, they're still going. As I said, I wouldn't like to see them get quite out of business because of this Cult Labs, but I don't think so. I think that'll drag them down. Right. But nice to see a new Arrow forum, because it's nice to frequent sometimes and check out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
A couple more, just some releases news. We've got Gary. See, Willow has been announced.
Right.
You know what?
Never seen
Willow?
That film.
No, it's all right. It's a bit of a kind of nostalgia for me. It's George Lucas, Ron Howard. Ron Howard directed it. Val Kilmer and Warwick Davis.
All right.
Sorry. It's kind of in the
Star Wars, the Ewoks or something?
Yeah, yeah. It's there's no Ewoks in it, but like, it feels like that kind of...
Okay.
It's pretty, like, I'm trying to think of the film I'm thinking of that's kind of elements of... it's almost like kind of mini Lord of the Rings a wee bit.
All right.
Right, but it's fun. It's a fun wee film. It's all right, you know what I mean? I was going to say it's nothing special, but it's got its wee things of specialness there that kind of a bit of nostalgia for me and stuff. But also, Roger Rabbit has been announced.
Oh, aye.
They're bringing that to DTA Blu-ray.
There's a few new Disney titles been announced last week.
You get Mulan 1 and 2. You seen Mulan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't that keen on it.
No.
It's okay.
I've not seen the second one, but it was alright, aye.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the UK normally gets just the film. Mm-hmm. The US have been doing these double packs with the sequel.
But sure.
I don't need that, really.
Nah, I don't think so. I think
I'll probably pick it up.
Yeah. I'm quite interested in Roger Rabbit. There's a couple of editions of that as right, well. Right. There's like a kind of sort of diamond edition, but it's like a similar kind of box, like okay. cover kind of game, and it's also got kind of plain normal cover, like the artwork. Do you like that film?
I have seen it. I believe I saw it when it came out, and it was 1988.
Yeah, I think so. I went to cinema to see it.
I was 5 at the time. Mm-hmm. I think I've seen it since on television
I quite
when
like
I was a kid,
film.
But I couldn't say anything about it. I really don't know.
I didn't realise it was Robert Zemeckis that did it.
Oh,
well.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting with the whole, you know, the Polar Express and stuff, like the way it went, because obviously like, I knew him best for Back to the Future.
Mm.
So it seems it's kind of, he's obviously quite into animation things as well. I love this film. I think it's great. It goes quite dark at the end as well. Like, I don't know if you remember, like Christopher Lloyd.
Somebody gets squashed or something.
Oh, what? An evil laugh, that bugger says.
Right.
Anyway, that's coming. I don't know if you get any more Disney announcements.
Well, the other ones announced were Hunchback in Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah, so that.
Brother Bear.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
They're all coming in March.
I've never seen Brother Bear.
I haven't seen it either.
No, I've seen Hunchback, I think, most of. I remember we went to Euro Disney like at school.
Right, Hunchback's good.
And we were going to Paris, so we watched Hunchback in Notre Dame. I remember it being alright, aye.
Brother Bear, that's a 2000s one. That's the dark years of Disney.
Post Toy Story, but not like pre their own kind of.
They really.
Was it? It wasn't CG, was it?
I think. Was it? I don't think so. Probably CG elements, but it was essentially the feel of hand-drawn, I think.
Mm-hmm. So, I'll throw it to you, Gary.
The BBFC's been in the news.
They have indeed.
The last couple of weeks, mm-hmm. I mean, a while back we talked about they had commissioned the new research on their sexual sort of policies towards sexual violence.
Yes.
And it just came out. They published it, but it's been getting quite a bad reaction. It was 35 people they interviewed, but it was more they took a qualitative approach to the research.
Yeah.
And yeah, it seems to me, what I've read about it, did you look at the policy document at all? No.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You could download that.
Right.
It looks to me like what the BBC have been doing is trying to validate their own already existing policies in a way. Uh-huh. They're trying to get public opinion to say that they are kind of in the right place rather than researching. Nothing that came out in the research was about whether the films actually harm, mm-hmm. cause any sort of psychological harm. So it's more about trying to them kind of. Create a sort of safe position for themselves that, okay, we're still in line with public opinion. But the research has been quite criticised for not being completely neutral. Like, they've been accused of posing leading questions to the interviewees, sort of imposing ideas mm-hmm. into them. So I think the films and some of the films involved were films we have covered.
Yeah.
Antichrist, mm-hmm. Bunny Game, Grotesque, Serbian film, mm-hmm. Wolf Creek.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Martyrs, we haven't covered that, but we've both seen that. Yeah.
Sex and Zen.
Mm-hmm. Human Centipede 2 as well. Was on the list. Killer Inside Me.
But the BBFC haven't said that they're going to adjust their policies based on this. So hopefully they don't. Some of the responses that have come out are totally absolute nonsense. There's nothing scientific about this. It's basically just trying to gauge public opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I think if the BBFC to say, right, we're going to adjust our policies based on this, would be a total mistake.
I mean, what did the number of 35 people? I don't understand why was it that number?
I'm not sure exactly. I guess it was a cost thing, but when it comes to qualitative research, numbers aren't really. Quantitative, when it's survey based questionnaires, mm-hmm. I think that it's 1,000, which is a number that is thought of as proportional to the whole populace. Because what happens after 1,000, you actually get diminishing returns.
Right, right. Oh,
you could
right.
do 10,000, but the results are only going to be that statistically
really?
Different.
Right.
There you go. But interview based, but it's essentially uninformed opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so some of the kind of stuff that they were getting back here from these participants. This is talking about the bunny game.
Right, okay.
This is male, 44, from Dundee. It would probably hit on a lot of these people that are into bondage and things like that. I think they would get off in a movie like that. I hope. I would hope not in a harmful way, but you don't know what goes on behind closed doors. And seeing a movie like that, I just think, oh God, do they maybe glamorise it for that type of person?
I mean,
I like that. These people are into bondage and things like that.
I'm like, well, I don't care if people want to get off in it. If people want to, like, you know what I mean? As long as, like, I just don't see that transferring to actually doing it.
Right, yeah.
Especially
yeah.
that film, I don't know, it didn't seem to, I don't know, that didn't make me want to go and do right. it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, this is one sort of quote that's been picked upon by different commentators that have been racked into the...
Okay.
It's just about sort of how they've been like imposing ideas on the participants.
Right.
The moderators. So bunny game again. And the question is, and do you think any of the scenes glamorised or sexualised violence? And the answer, yeah, a little bit. Which bits? All of it. But because, well, if you watch porn, they sort of do that, don't they? They would tie them up in dog collars and stuff like that. And yeah, it's sadomasochism, isn't it? And so, yeah, I don't find that there's anything wrong with that. So they're saying it's a little bit glamorising sexual violence, but then they're sort of under pressure saying, oh, not all of it's sort of glamorising sexual violence.
Does that yeah. comment come across, though, like that he says he doesn't see there's anything wrong with it?
This is female, 41, from Bristol.
Yeah, but saying, and so, I don't kind of, find that there's anything wrong with that.
Well, it's, yeah, they're kind of, they don't know what to think of it, really.
I mean, it's true, there is a lot of, like, porn out there that does kind of, like fetishise, like, tying up and things like that, right?
Hmm.
I mean, I don't know, obviously porn isn't kind of, it's not subject to the same, you know, like, barriers.
Aye.
The film is, but I mean, I don't know, that film didn't really, I didn't feel that it glamorised, it sexualised violence at all.
Nah.
I really didn't, and like, we've watched some films that do.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, I mean, Grotesque definitely did. You know what I mean? Because that guy was getting off on their stuff, you know what I mean? But, like, I still didn't feel that it was something that would make someone want to do that necessarily, but it more so glamorised violent, sexualised violence.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Because there was actual, like, sexualised stuff in that.
Mm.
Whereas Bunny Game, I didn't feel that at all.
No.
I mean, she offers him a blowjob right there, Gary, and he doesn't say aye. He says no. He doesn't even say no, he just fucking takes her out.
Yeah.
As you say, have your blowjob first, pal. Don't pay for it, but you know what I mean?
Aye. Yeah, and another thing that's been picked up is just the sort of lack of knowledge that the participants have.
Sure.
This is like about Grotesque. It's got like quotes, potentially harmful. I think that's obviously what they've been asked. Yeah, very, very, very. I would want a triple. I would want a triple X on that. Triple X.
Holy
no
shit.
Such thing as a triple X.
Oh, yeah, like porn.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So
and very. Go. No, it's just very again.
And very, yeah. That is very, because it's very sadistic.
Oh my God, this chick's like, that's female 44 Dundee. Oh my God.
What's that?
Learn some new words.
Five verys.
Oh man. Yeah, very, very, very. I would want a triple X on that. And very, yeah, that's very, because it's very sadistic. I guess if you say it's potentially harmful, but, man.
And then the same film, there's a female 18 Dundee. She's saying, I don't understand why it's been banned. Because a lot of horror films have got violence in them, like chopping body parts
well, that's
off.
That's what I said to you, yeah. Like, the Saw films are... I mean, Grotesque, like... I mean, more so than the Bunny game. There's more like graphic violence, obviously, in it, but I don't know. It felt a little more cartoonish than even a lot of the westernized. Like, I've never seen Hostel, right? But like, have you seen Hostel?
Aye, that's cartoony as well.
Is it right? Yeah. So it's still like it felt very much like in that vein.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really know. I just don't know like what they're going for, what they're trying to get at with it.
Yeah.
I mean, the list, I had it here. It was given the kind of current BBFC classification and the proposed.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the participant classification. I mean, most of them were more or less the same.
Pretty much.
But the ones that bothered me a little bit were the mixed ranging from 18 uncut to rejected.
Right.
But, that's like, obviously.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, you're going to get, like, people that have different views. Oh my God, you have people that have different views on things.
Mm-hmm.
But, as I said before, no one's forcing the people that want that to be rejected, like, to watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
Except for you guys, right. The fucking stupid BBFC. You're forcing people to watch
yeah.
it. You're asking people to watch it, paying people to watch it. Which is crazy. My grand wouldn't want to watch this right. stuff, that's you know what it. I mean?
Yeah.
And I would never propose to her to watch it. But...
Yeah, people were saying, a lot of the quotes were like, oh my God, like, some of them quite shocked, saying, why would anyone want to watch this?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, it's not for everyone. It's like...
Man, it's like... It's just, like, same with any film, though.
Mm.
Look at you, like, the French New Wave films that, like, that you watch. And so, I mean, I'm... Like, people. So most people don't want. Not most people. Lots of people don't want to watch a film with subtitles.
Right.
Which wouldn't give it the time of day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And look at what they're missing out. But, and like, I mean that's just a mainstream film,
mm-hmm.
right? So, it's not for everyone.
Mm.
Like so, of course, as soon as you go into like sort like, kind of, inky, you know like. Muddy waters with like kind of like themes and content and film.
Yeah,
you're gonna get even more people that aren't gonna give it the time of day.
Yeah,
it's fine. Don't watch it.
Aye.
I'm not gonna ask someone who's like disgusted by these things to watch them.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same point, I'm not gonna put up with them telling me I can't watch it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
That was one sort of thing that was drawn out. There's a sort of. Whenever you go to like a kind of general public, there's a sort of bias towards populism type thing. How grotesque and Burning Game didn't have a story.
Right.
Any sort of strong narrative. So that means the justice, the violence wasn't justified.
Okay.
And this guy is saying, if there's a good storyline, I am definitely upset accepting of sexual violence. Pretty much all the films become acceptable. If only they had a good, well-told story in it.
I mean, I'm not being funny, right?
Right.
Sorry, like, sorry.
A good storyline will make anything in any movie acceptable, except for paedophilia. Oh, there it is, Mail 38 Bristol.
There you go. Oh, you got it right now.
I wrote it down right
away. Well, that's good, there's no for paedophilia, that's fine. But, I mean,
just like, that's so like, such a hypocritical statement.
Of
so,
course, man. Yeah. It's like it's saying like, anything justified as long as there's a story.
Yeah, yeah.
That's... I can deal with everything.
Yeah.
As a story. But I'm sorry, like Bunny Game and Grotesque do have
yeah,
a story.
Yeah, yeah.
And a clear story.
Mm.
It's a very simple story, especially with Bunny Game.
Mm.
Like there's not much to it, but it has a story.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I could describe to you what happened in it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Something like the Vomit Gore trilogy, less so. It would be harder to tell someone outside without getting into literal description of what it is, you know, the between a pact of the devil or whatever. But like Bunny Game and Grotesque have actual stories.
Yeah, yeah.
Of what happens.
Yeah. Just because it's not a traditional narrative that people are used to.
Yeah, I
mean
it's not. It's like Grotesque is just taking the torture porn element from the torture porn films, but not having the westernized need for to fill in all the gaps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And explain why everyone's doing everything.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Which, that can be the most interesting part of a film. Sometimes it's discussing why. I mean, and mostly enjoy the discussions we have about why do you think this happened? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And you don't get that with a lot of westernised Hollywood films because you know why things happened.
Okay.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's pathetic.
Like. And then, also, again, I found immaturity to the responses in the sense of a lot of them are talking about if these films don't have a clear moral message, then it's justified to be banned. But that's like saying, I mean, what are you, like 10 years old? Like, you not accept that violence happens in the real world and there's no reason for it.
Because
They're basically saying that if the perpetrator doesn't have a sort of bloody comeuppance at the end and it's all a happy ending, then there's no justification for it. But I mean, art should reflect life. It's not all about entertainment. It's just about sort of stating something about the life, I don't know, the human condition.
Definitely, aye. I mean, even though like, a lot of the 80s slashers don't have like necessarily happy endings, you know what I mean? Like, Psycho doesn't have a happy ending.
No.
Necessarily, you know what I mean? All right, you know, Norman Bates gets put into what we perceive to be an asylum, but like, he's still there and you know that it's still potentially going to come back.
Aye.
Halloween doesn't end in a happy note, the first one, you know what I mean? It's pretty much, he's gone.
Right, yeah.
Freddy 13, you know what I mean? All these films, none, you know, they don't have this kind of necessary comeuppance.
Aye.
Or a finite end. Or a kind of, so like the same basis, then all those should be banned.
I think with these types of films you can't go to a mass audience because they're not films for that audience. They're films for a niche audience. I mean, it's not like you're getting a massive studio picking up the Bonnie Game for distribution and smashing it into every multiplex in the UK. I would to a certain extent understand people being pissed off at that.
Aye.
But I mean, these are films that are basically maybe not even get a theatrical run. They're going to be niche DVD audiences, home video audiences. So
the point that I always try to get to is that these are films that not everyone's going to see, right? And the people who do see it are generally people who have sought it, you know, trying to find the film, right? Because they know about the film, and they want to see it. So that's that. I mean, you're not exposing it to the mass market because most people don't want to see that, right? And that's fine. But he simply can't like censor it and take it, you know, or cut it or ban it from people who are willing to like accept it as a form of art. And I mean, some of them can be shit. We have seen shit films, right? Who, you know, which come under this banner. But I'm glad that I have been able to see them. You know, I'm. Do you know what I mean? It's like, why stop us from seeing it? A shit film is a shit film, whether it's at, like exploitation or like pushing the boundaries of like taste. You know what I mean? It's like, but at the same hand, a good film's a good film, you know. But who's that? Who are they to judge for us? You know, as I say, the people who are going to view this film are going to find it, whether it's released in this country uncut or not. And it's the same if it's released uncut in this country. It's only those people that are going to find it. To me. You know what I mean? Kids aren't going to be going, oh, Mum, I want to see the Bunny Game. My pal was talking about it. You know what I mean? It's not going to happen. And again, with the kind of, like, the availability of porn, right? If people were going to get off with this type of thing, and that was the sole reason, there's plenty online that they could find if they needed that to get off.
Aye.
So there's no shortage, and they can get that for free.
That's it.
And legally, you know, without having to, you know, try and find some random black and white film that you know what I mean? Maybe has subtitles, you know what I mean? They don't have to do that. So that's simply not how they're going to get their jollies. And if they're going to, like, try and, like, kidnap and torture people, then anything that they need that you think is going to affect them is already out there. Full stop, Gary. Sorry, as I said, it just bugs me. It's just, it's like, don't decide what I, like. Nah, don't say what I can do. Not what I can do, because that's fair enough. But don't say what I can perceive, or if I want to watch something. If I don't want to watch it, I'll turn it off. I say, guy.
So we'll see what happens with that. Hopefully, so, the BBC you just brush it under the carpet, just so the sort of reaction, the sort of hatred they've been getting, it's kind of blown up in their face, I think.
I think the podcast, that episode, you know, the Imitable Techniques, is that what it
right.
is? I think it was getting a lot of criticism. I think the guy kind of flip-flops a lot, the guy that's on the episode. I've not really heard it. You said you heard it, yeah?
Yeah.
Kind of fucks up a bit, does he?
Well, I mean, it's a difficult position to... The kind of
it's
the thing based on harm. That's such a muddy area, because as far as I know, there's never been any like proper scientific research that's shown that like horror films cause psychological harm to anyone.
How do you really prove
yeah,
that?
Yeah, that's funny. That just says that in the first part of the research paper. So it's really impossible to determine harm.
I mean, it is. I could tell you that I murdered my wife because I saw this film.
Yeah, yeah.
Who knows? Right? You know what I mean? But to me, as I say, it's like, if you're going to do something, you're going to do something. If you have the ability to not, if you or the inability to not see that you shouldn't be doing these things, a film is not going to tip you over the edge. I believe, as I said, I've maybe quoted it before, but Scream said it the best. And it's a very mainstream thing, but horror films don't make killers, they just make them inventive.
Right.
And again, if they're going to do something, they're going to do something. Psychos are psychos.
Right.
And horror films don't make them. So, pickups, Gary. What have you been getting? Anything interesting? Or
yes,
you can tell me them off, you want.
A few good things.
Sure.
First up, Zombie Flesh Eaters.
Oh yes.
Looks like one of the best releases of the year. I haven't gone through it yet. I haven't watched the film in it. I watched some of the documentaries and that. Looks some good stuff there.
Definitely.
Good package.
Slipcase edition.
Yes. Yep. Oh, aye.
From my old direct. Aye. Lovely.
You want to jump in with this because you go to it as well?
Yeah, I picked up as well. Had a look at the transfer. It's crazy. Like, I mean, I did like what is it, 25th anniversary edition DVD.
Right.
In the States, went on, you know, the Zombie 2 title. And I mean, it's like night and day. I mean, it's not even night and day. It's like. It's crazy because I always remember this being a particularly bad transfer, look, you know, rough looking DVD.
Right.
And back and looked at it before I actually got this out, and I was like, oh my god! Like, and then as it's like night and day, so it's a really. I don't know what I never watched the Blue Underground release, but from what I can tell, it looks like a massive upgrade even from that.
Aye.
So on all accounts, it's job well done.
Right, next, during the Arrow sale.
Yes,
I picked up Bicycle Thieves.
Yeah, was this one you were looking for an upgrade on for the Criterion?
Yes, I'd like to see a Criterion version of this as well. This is the Arrow Academy line. Got it for $7.99.
Yeah, that's cracking price, isn't it?
I was always wanted to get this because it's got a different commentary that's not on the Criterion. I've got the Criterion DVD, Criterion's got many more extras, so I'd still like to see that.
Yeah, sure.
But I was always kind of lukewarm in these, because I thought the packaging was kind of cheap. I didn't like the artwork and stuff, but see, actually seeing it in
real life, nice.
It's actually quite classy. It's still got a slipcase. It's kind of black.
Does it get the four-panel artwork? Or?
It does, aye.
That's really good. I didn't realise it had that. Aye. I thought it was like just yourselves, you know, basic. Is it a different branch of Arrow that works this, or...? I mean, that's really nice. I mean, you don't really hear that being publicised as much.
Yeah, they've only actually got, like 10 titles or something.
Right.
On both DVD and Blu-ray. I know they said, like, some point earlier this year they weren't going to release any more.
Right.
So, I guess it's one that doesn't sell that well. compared to that.
It's a shame because, I mean, it's definitely, like, quality-wise, it's up there, like, packaging and things like that with the Master Cinema. Definitely, you know what I mean? It's easily as good, and maybe even better with the slipcase, you know, in the four panel.
Yeah. So I'm quite impressed. That's nice. Haven't checked out the transfer.
Yeah. What's it meant to be like?
I don't know. I haven't seen any proper reviews.
Right.
It was never reviewed in Blu-ray.com. So I'm hoping it's pretty good. It's got your 38-page booklet as well.
That's good.
That's worth picking
up. Yeah, definitely.
There's a few more that I might get from that series.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know when the sale ends.
Right.
I think it's the December sale, so it may last hopefully after Christmas. There's definitely something I'd like to pick up from Darrow anyway.
I got the Blair Witch Project.
Oh, nice.
And Blu-ray.
Yeah, that's the one I've been thinking of picking up for a while.
What I was doing, I was going through some DVDs, just like getting rid of shit.
Sure.
That I thought that I've upgraded or planning to upgrade. But saying that, this is one that you might think, just keep your DVD.
Yeah.
The standard def video.
Aye.
But I took the plunge because it's got Blu-ray exclusive 4 never before seen alternate endings.
Oh, really?
There you go. Yeah. I had to look at this. Looks alright. I don't know. Standard def video.
Yeah, I know. Like, you kind of wonder about any compression on the DVD. With them. There's a lot of specifics on the DVD, like documentaries and feature length documentaries. Yeah. In fact, so I mean, it's bound to be uncompressed at least. So
yeah, I mean, yeah, you could say you're losing the compression artifacts from DVD. Mm-hmm. But then again, it's showing up the kind of inherent damage and it's in the image. So I don't know.
I can live with the inherent damage.
Yeah, I would err on the side of Blu-ray, I guess.
I've been considering picking that for a while because I just had to think about it, but like, the reviews were kind of like, that it wasn't much of an upgrade, so I wasn't rushing to get it. But
One thing I was wondering about, you've got the 16mm footage that's the film that they make within the film, which you would think would look better, but I was wondering, when they were doing making the film, did they take the 16mm footage and transfer it to a standard def master for the final film.
So what part's the 16mm?
You know, the film they're making.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because if it is that, then you're not gaining anything from the 16mm footage on Blu-ray, but I don't know.
I mean, it would obviously all have been blown up to 35 at one point.
Aye, that's true. But I was just wondering, were they working from a film negative, or were they doing a digital negative? Because if they weren't from film and they're transferring the video footage to film, then I guess the standard 16mm would be preserved. But if they're transferring film to video in a standard def workflow and then going from a standard def master to the 35mm prints for theatrical release, then... But
I would have thought, like, logic would have said, like, you know, you work from the film elements to film to film and video to film. You know what I mean? That's the way I would have worked.
Because mostly video is the only thing.
Simply because it was being blown up to... I knew it would be blown up to 35.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you look at even, like Clerks and Evil Dead, like, they were... was Evil Dead filmed in 16? Yeah, it was. Being blown up to 35, they were quite careful with the process. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I would have thought that they would have... If they were going to blow up to 35 for theatrical release, maybe they didn't know that in beforehand. But I would have thought they would have done that. Because they would still have the 16mm negs. But I thought the studio would have... encourage them to do that. You know, transfer the 16mm stuff at the highest possible. But anyway, I'm sure it's somewhat of an upgrade.
Yeah.
Nice to see. Anyway, that's definitely something I'll definitely pick up at some point.
A few more here. I picked up Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh yeah.
This was a promotion on Disney Movie Rewards. Like sort of a sale, so to speak.
Right.
I cut it from 700 to 550 points.
Right.
So I had 550. So I was just went for it. So
how
I got to my Christmas.
How long was the sale on for?
I don't know. May still be available for. Do you have 550?
I'm sure I've got like 700.
Do you? Yeah.
Because I didn't have enough for like a special edition.
Right.
Blu-ray, but like, I had enough for like a standard edition Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Whatever. So how we look?
It's quite a cool release. It's got like the Frankenweenie original shot.
Oh, sure,
from
yeah.
Tim Burton. And it's got another Tim Burton film. What's it called? Vincent.
Sure.
I've not seen that, so. It's quite a good, decent pickup for 550 points.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, and got two copies of The Snowman.
Right.
I went for The Snowman on Blu-ray. Get your picture quality there. And your extras. Snow Business documentary. The Story of The Snowman.
Sure.
And introductions. And I went for this older DVD double feature, mm-hmm. Snowman and Father Christmas.
How much did you get that for?
£6.
£6? Holy crap, I got that for fuck all. Aye, there you go. It was sealed until I opened it to get it to you. And then you tell me you've got it already.
Yeah, just to get your two aspect ratios there.
Yeah.
If you want to compare and contrast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you haven't watched either of them yet, no?
I haven't, no.
No.
We go for a Christmas Eve.
Yeah, that's kind of the game you want, isn't it?
Something like that.
Good. That you for your pickups?
That's all right.
So, will I get to my pickups now, for sake? I picked up the Zombie Flesh Eaters, as I said. I also dove in for the 11.85 for the Hitchcock triple. The all Warner right. Brothers set.
That was from a good deal.
Eventually dropped down to 11.25 on Amazon.
Oh, did I?
So I got kind of bumped for 70 pence. Cheers, guys. Thanks. but no, I took a dive for that because, I mean, I looked at it and it's like, I think, is it Dial In for Murder? Was like
$17.99
on its own.
Yeah, that's crazy, yeah.
On its own. So, in the box set was like £30. So I worked out, like, you're paying like £11 something, £12 for like a box set that was worth about £45.
Right.
In individual releases, yeah. Almost, you know what I mean? So I just dove in with that. I was like, that's great. I'll probably will get rid of the North by Northwest at some point and get the Digibook. But yeah, really happy with that. I also picked up the Savvy were doing the straight To Catch a Thief.
Oh yeah, did you get that?
$6.85.
Okay.
So thought I'd grab that. That is crazy looking.
As I.
Honestly, like, I mean, it's stunning. Right. Like, some of the cinematography and things like that, and
aye.
The image detail is crazy. I mean, it was really nice. And like, I was kind of wary at first because like the Blu-ray.com, the back image, the rear of the artwork didn't show the special features at first.
All right.
Or it didn't. But I've read a few things and said, no, it's definitely got it, but it does, it's got all the special features that the US version has. So, I mean, it's really, I've only had a skim through it, but it looks absolutely gorgeous. I said, no, we spoke about the film, so it's maybe not his best, but damn, does it look good. I also picked up Polar Express.
Hi.
On, well, Blu-ray 3D. This is a weird one, right? Because I'd been kind of wary. Because I was wondering about the whole Blu-ray 3D, and you get the Blu-ray with it, and the DVD, and a digital copy.
Uh-huh.
So I was worried that the Blu-ray would just be the... I was getting the Blu-ray 3D version because of the sound.
Right,
because you get DTS.
Okay.
HD sound. But and I was worried that the Blu-ray would only have the same 5.1 Dolby Digital that the old Blu-ray release would have. So, sure enough, popped the Blu-ray in, and yes, it's only got the 5.1 Dolby Digital. Right, standard def sound, right? So I was like, fucking hell, like, I've just paid like maybe like £6 more for this than I would have for just the regular Blu-ray, for no fucking reason. But I popped the Blu-ray 3D into my Blu-ray player, which I had never had the Blu-ray 3D before. I've never tried I've got the one, the Universal Monsters, I've never tried it.
Mm-hmm.
And it works. Just it says like this is best viewed in 3D, but just press
gives
OK.
You the option.
You just go straight to 2D,
right.
And you get your DTS sound through that. So effectively, there's no need for this edition to have a Blu-ray version of the thing in it.
Right.
It's crazy. So you've got two high def
versions
of the film, a DVD version, a digital copy. So, but anyway, we watched this. Me and the wife. I enjoy this film. I think it's good. And man, that DTS sound, like, I thought the fucking train was coming through my room, man. It was crazy. Had it pretty loud, mind you, to fucking hear it. But also picked this up in the $3.99 Arrow sale, Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Right.
I got into a bit of a Christmas. I thought it was from Black Christmas. I was like, I want to see this.
Okay.
It's all right. It's actually all right. It's I watched the next morning. I had downloaded the sequel, and I watched the sequel. The next one, shit, that's not good. Fucking hell, is it not good? That the guy that plays the brother of the guy in this one, man, he's got some crazy eyebrows. He acts with his eyebrows. He's like, what do you mean? And I can't even do it. Like, it's crazy. You need to see it. But Silent Night, Deadly Night, it's actually all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot better than I thought it was going to be. And it's got some interesting, like, you know, elements to the slasher genre. It's kind of, you don't get the usual first person.
Right.
You're introduced to your antagonist as the protagonist to start with.
Oh, right.
It's kind of weird. But it'd be worth a watch. I don't know if you're still watching Christmas movies, man, but I could leave that with you if you want. Yeah. That's definitely worth a wee watch. It's interesting. I quite liked that.
Okay.
Definitely had something in it. It's quite interesting because it's there's a lot of stuff that's was cut from it, and I think it's been lost.
Aye.
So they reinserted it from like a VHS source. So it does kind of like a couple of times. It goes to like, you notice when there's like stuff that's maybe kind of a bit more graphic.
Right.
It goes to like a slightly lesser source.
Okay.
And it's okay. It's a wee bit kind of, the first time it happens, it's in like a middle of a scene, and it's not anything that really should have been cut. You know, it's no violence or anything like that. And it's a wee bit kind of jarring. But once you know it's coming, you're prepared for it, and you can accept it. But the rest of the film looks really good. It's a shame.
It's a shame that, is that the best version that exists?
Seems to be, because even the States one is the exact same.
No film elements at all.
It doesn't appear, or maybe it's too expensive to get the remaster going. I mean, it's not horrible, it's just the colour timing changes a bit.
Right, okay.
And there's some more kind of dirt and stuff like that on the print. But I quite liked it. I really enjoyed the film. I thought it was, it wasn't the same old with the slasher genre.
Right,
you know what I mean?
The $3.99,
aye. $3.99, aye, kind of beat it.
I thought you were going to say you picked up Island of Death.
I'm still there. I'm still going to go for it because I've still got it in kind.
Maybe
I've still got that, so I was planning to get Island of Death, but because of the festive season, Gary.
There you go.
I thought I'd grab this, and I'm glad I did, as it's a lot better than I thought it was going to be. I also watched Slaughter High recently. Right. Remember I got that a wee while ago? I got it one of my pickups a while ago. That was alright as well. That wasn't that bad. It was kind of really, really, really cheesy, but it wasn't that bad. That'd be worth a watch for you, man. I'd recommend checking that out. Yeah, so I think that's it for my pickups.
Okay. Seems like a Christmas special.
Sure.
I thought we'd do something a bit different.
End of the year.
End of year wrap up. Mm-hmm. Okay. Looking forwards
and
to 2013.
Looking backwards as well.
Possibly.
Sure.
That's your Academy motto, isn't it? Best picky, prospicky. Looking forward, looking back.
Oh my God.
There's a bit of knowledge for you.
Okay. So you Googled that, eh?
I wasn't on that.
Do you remember the song?
In the Blazer.
Do you remember? Aye, fuck off. Do you remember the song?
No.
No. Nick and I.
When did we sing the song?
Oh, we sung it like once. Like, apparently they used to sing it all the time at the assemblies.
Oh, right.
But we sung it like once, and it's as if like you should fucking ken this. And it's like, Res Bricky Pro.
Maybe it rings.
Remember that?
Rings a
faint bell. I used to think it was Respace and Prospace. I think that's better.
Yeah,
definitely makes more sense.
Right, so I thought we'd just do, this is something I sort of copied from the Criterion cast.
You son of a,
I know. Every end of year they do a most wanted Criterion glory upgrades.
Right.
And I love listening to the episodes.
Yeah.
So I thought we could just do that same thing, but expand it to any Blu-ray upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
Got a number of things that are still unavailable in Blu-ray.
Right.
Start us off, Dogville.
Oh,
from Lars von Trier.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I think it's probably one of von Trier's best. It's a shame it's nowhere on Blu-ray at all.
Am I not right? And I might, was that not shot in digital?
Yes.
And standard def?
No.
No, oh, right, yeah. Right.
I think that's the thing possibly putting distributors off with von Trier's work, because he's worked a lot in video and standard def. But Dogville was the first one when he went to 2K HD, so that's one that should be on.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, you've even seen like standard def stuff coming.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
For other films. Definitely. We're just talking about one Blue Ridge project there.
Sure. Inland Empire, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to see that. Mandalay as well, film made after, the same. There's actually some coming from Japan. Dancing in the Dark is coming out.
Oh, right.
21st.
Right.
Today. That was just, aye. And that was all shot in standard def.
Mm-hmm.
So I might pick that up, I'm not sure. And then Breaking the Waves is coming out in March in Japan. That's a weird one. Because what he did there was he shot it in 35 and then he transferred to video for editing. And I was like, quite like that. So he transferred from the video back to 35 for
right.
release prints.
That's weird.
But one thing I don't know, same thing we're talking about Blair Witch, was it a standard def work like master
yeah,
or
aye,
was that point?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did we have 2K at that point?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they did. So if it's 2K, then it'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was going from essentially a standard def master to 35,
yeah,
a Blu-ray
gonna,
transfer
it could
is.
Be...
You're limited there. So,
mm-hmm.
But it said on the Amazon Japan, it's a new HD master.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows if that's going back to the original negative or something. We'll see what happens there.
Nah, I mean, the new HD transfer would definitely.
But you can't really do an HD film.
No.
But unless they're just calling it an HD transfer, well, upscaling it.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, worth a check.
See
what
that,
sure.
But you definitely need more Von Trier.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Criterion should get done. They've got Europa and Element of Crime on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
Give me them, man. I'm down. moving on. Other films we've talked about, Kids, mentioned that in the episode.
Yeah,
want to see that in Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Sort of a dream thing would be a Harmony Korine box set from Criterion.
Right, yeah.
Joe and Donkey Boy, Gummo. Yeah, want to see all them.
Mm-hmm.
La Ventura
from
Michelangelo Antonioni. It's one of my favourite films. Criterion's got it in DVD, but no word on any Blu-ray upgrade. But Masters of Cinema just released the announcements here on Naughty, which
yes.
is Antonioni. It's mm-hmm. like a trilogy of films they made, La Ventura, La Naughty, La Clisse. And they've upgraded that to Blue, which is interesting because that was one, that's the one from the trilogy that Criterion never released.
Okay.
Because they said at one point that they couldn't find quality elements for even for a DVD release, which is weird. So Masters of Cinema thought, like, we're all right, we're just going for it.
Mm.
So, see what happens. If you get more of them. I'd also like to see Robin Hood from Disney.
Oh, yeah. That's one of my favourites, actually.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I mean, that's, me and my dad always used to watch that one as well. I've got fond memories of that film.
Aye.
That was good.
Yeah, stands out as one of the best for me.
Mm-hmm. It almost stands separate from the rest. You know, there's no, like... traditional princess, you know what I mean? Like, you know, it's very much almost in the tradition of their cartoon, you know, their kind of short cartoons.
Aye.
With the animals as the, you know,
as
people. No, that's very good. Mm-hmm.
Even though it copies a lot of its set pieces from the Jungle Book.
Yeah.
Something they did in that era. They would just like change the characters a wee bit.
Yeah.
It was like essentially the same action.
Because like it's Baloo and the Sheriff of Nottingham are similar. Quite similar in character model.
Yeah, so I wonder if we'll see that this year. I mean,
nice.
It's one they could just, they don't have to do a diamond. They wouldn't do a diamond for that, I don't think. So they could just shove that out.
We're getting stiffed on a lot of diamonds over here, though, aren't
that's
we?
True.
Like, recently.
Aye.
Which is a shame, because like Peter Pan and things like that. Mm. I mean, Peter Pan was never one that I was really big on when I was younger.
Mm.
It was more like maybe early mid-teens I got, you know, because it was one that I hadn't seen for a while, you know, that I'd never really seen when I was younger.
Right.
You know, as Disney did the whole kind of release on VHS and then they would kind of go away for a while and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was one that I had never really caught.
Yeah.
But I quite enjoy that film. There's a lot
right,
of that I didn't necessarily catch the first time and eventually caught later on that were really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that'd be quite interesting for Robin Hood, though. I'd quite like it in the Diamond Edition. I would.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what if there's any like good stuff available.
It seems a weird one because it's, as I say, it does depart from the kind of usual fairy tale like themes that Disney have.
Yeah.
You know, so and it's more of a kind of historical, and like, it would be interesting to see how, you know, elements maybe they took from the kind of live action iterations of Robin Hood and see what they kind of drew on for the history, because obviously it's an amalgamation of the kind of fiction and real life accounts of Robin Hood.
Aye.
Because it's not necessarily the same as the other versions.
Slight tangent. The Cinderella Diamond Edition, I was quite disappointed because the new extras that sort of make the diamond rather than just porting over the standard def DVD extras, they were pretty crappy.
They were pretty poor.
Yeah.
I didn't think there was much on there, to be honest. The transfer was, I thought it was amazing, but it wasn't really necessarily worthy of a diamond edition.
I mean, compare that to like Snow White, which is loaded with amazing stuff.
Or Sleeping Beauty, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean, it's a bit of a shame.
Getting a bit thinner.
Because Cinderella is like... It's like held as one of the kind of it's like Snow White, Cinderella, you know what I mean, the ones, you know what I mean, the big princess.
But the standard def stuff is amazing, like the classic sort of making of, and then it's like a feature on the Nine Old Men, like a round table discussion. Have you seen that at all?
I haven't
like,
watched
it.
Really
good. It's got like contemporary animators from Pixar and Disney. So there you go. A diamond edition doesn't seem the sort
almost
of end all
deal.
So also like to see Kino upgrade more films from D.W. Griffith. Big Griffith fan. They've got more. They've released three of his films on Blu-ray so far. So really nice sets. So they've got more, particularly Orphans of the Storm and Broken Blossoms. Well, to see them go ahead, get them on Blu-ray. I'd also like to see some more sort of early cinema. I'm quite into that. But that seems to be something that tends to just get shut, pushed out on DVD, unfortunately. There was one, the Georges Méliès film, Trip to the Moon.
Okay.
And that was released on Blu-ray in the States.
Sure.
But then in the UK, only got a DVD. Shite.
Yeah.
So, I'd like to see some more sets. Kino's got some good sets and stuff like sort of Thomas Edison shorts and stuff. And when it comes to Blu-ray, I quite like... Just going from the start, it's quite like you've got a clean break from DVD, so I quite like sort of collecting from like the start of cinema. It's quite cool.
Definitely.
I'd also like to see Todd Browning's Freaks upgraded.
I was quite interested to see that with if they could try and find the original ending, try and get that.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I mean, that would be epic. Like, because that film deserves. I think to have its original ending, like, because the end of that film just didn't feel, it doesn't sit right quite the rest of it, but be interesting if they can find
so much missing footage from that, it's a shame.
It's a shame.
Who knows if that still exists or not. Hopefully somebody can find it. I mean,
that would be, it's the same, like, as I was saying to you, like Nosferatu, if they could get that.
Right, aye.
Like, I mean, that's, like, one I would really, be epic if they could just get that for next, well, in the coming year, any year, but like next year, that would be amazing.
Masters of Cinema hinted at something after they did their announcements. They hinted for about the next wave.
Sure.
They said long awaited is coming.
Right.
Maybe it's an upgrade of Nosferatu.
That would be interesting. That would be that could be Blu-ray of the year as well.
Could be.
Take a moment and ponder that guy.
Could go on here. More Godard and Blu-ray. Not that much so far. Just like to see Criterion upgrade what they have on DVD. One of my favourites is Alphaville, which Criterion lost the rights to, and to Studio Canal.
Okay.
So maybe it's a lesser title, so I don't know if Studio Canal will release it or not, or what they'll do with it. But I like to see that join the Studio Canal collection.
I mean, like, for me, obviously, I mean, did we ever cover the whole Halloween debacle?
Debacle?
Like the what happened with us going to see the reels?
Oh, right, no, we didn't.
Basically, didn't get to see it. No way to get into any more than that. There was a gas leak, and we kind of couldn't get to the cinema. Cinema was closed, so I didn't get to see it. Waiting over about 17 years almost, 16, 17 years to see it in a cinema and didn't get to see it. Anyway, they did a new HD remaster for that release. So I'm quite keen to see if they released, there's supposedly going to be a 30th anniversary edition. Well, More than 30. It's like 78, so it's like more than 30. But there's about a 35th anniversary, I think it is. It'd be quite interesting. Hopefully they're going to release a Blu-ray of that. Right. With a new transfer. It'd be interesting to see what that's like, at least. I mean, I was fairly happy with it, what I saw of the last Blu-ray. It was nice enough. Could maybe have done with some more clean-up. Colour timing. It'd be nice if they got Dean Cundey in to do the colour timing like they did on the other DVD. Also, there's lots of talk, like, just now about Night of the Living Dead coming back. Another Blu-ray release with some proper special features and maybe, like...
Oh, yeah.
Without the cropping, trying to find a print without the, you know, the optimum's really nice.
Right.
Transfer, but it is fairly cropped. Apparently, I think it's a Japanese one, or it's got like the One More for the Fire documentary in HD.
Oh, right.
It's a pretty good release, apparently, but still, it's the same print, more or less, as the optimum. But I'd like to see someone get a hold of that. I mean, if it's public domain, so there's no barriers to getting it out. Right. It's just a matter of getting a nice transfer. I'm pretty happy though, and we've got, don't get me wrong, but like, it would be nice to get, you know, a proper, like, if Arrow got hold of that, that'd be something. I'd be in for with the Kickstarter, you know what I mean? what else?
I'd just like to see some more Video Nasties upgraded to Blu-ray.
Sure. You always do that.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like to own them all, but I don't want to jump in the DVD, really, because they could be coming any time.
I almost feel like, as I said to you before, but like, I'd love to have them on original VHS. You know, even supposing they were fucked, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Totally, like, shit versions. Just like, having those covers and things like that would be interesting. But yeah, no, I get what you're saying. It'd be interesting if we could get them all released.
Yeah.
I'd like to see an uncut version of I Spit in Your Grave over here. It's a shame, because that one that was released was a nice version, like a kind of Arrow-esque, you know, but still cut, and it's like, such a shame.
Yeah, that's one thing with these, some of the Nasties that are still cut in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
If someone like Arrow was to release them, would they bother if they couldn't get the uncut one? Mm. It's a shame, because there's some of the other Cannibal ones.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see, like, Cannibal Ferox, Cannibal Holocaust, Cannibal Apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
That I think are meant to be among the better ones, but they're still cut for the animal cruelty.
Sure.
In the UK.
It's a shame, because that would be worth it. Mm. As I say, like, to go to that effort with the I Spit in Your Grave release and to still have it cut, oh, it's just so close, do you know what I mean? I mean, the Cannibal Holocaust, Shameless, the A Blu-ray, I mean, you said it was pretty decent quality, like, print-wise, and that's cut, but you think, well, okay, that's fair enough. It's just a basic release, you know what I mean? It's not too... But the I Spit in Your Grave has, like, the poster, the booklet, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
the
whole
shebang. It's just a shame they didn't get it uncut, you know? So, yeah, like, I mean, pretty much... I'm up for anything that's been cut previously, released on Blu-ray, released unreleased, uncut, sorry. In the future.
Yeah, I'm thinking that animal cruelty is never going to get passed in your future.
I guess so.
I think they just swam with that Cannibal Holocaust there. If they were to go with other films of animal cruelty, they probably wouldn't go past either.
Yeah, I mean, but I mean, I'm totally open to importing from the US, so I'm game. So what about, like, films that have been released this year, Gary? Like, anything, any kind of standouts for you?
Well, I'll give you some. Passenger on a Vark.
Oh, sure.
I think haven't watched it yet, but just from the packaging.
Yeah, just the whole glad it's out. You know what I mean? That's a big
beautiful steel book and the sort of booklet, the book you get. It's just a beautiful thing, isn't it?
There's something about just, like, I mean, I know it's stupid because, like, you know, we should be more concerned with the film and whatever. No, but it is. That shows, like, it, and same with the Arrow stuff. It just shows a love for the film that usually only fans have.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's, like, something that, like, is so appreciated.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and, like, it's like, that's the stuff that really matters.
Yeah.
You know?
It's kind of, it's giving it more respect as a work of art. Yeah. Than just sticking out in an Amory case.
But saying, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But saying, like, we're fans of this film. We fucking love this film. we've went to the effort of this. We're putting this out on our buck, hoping you'll buy it. You know?
Yep.
And it's just, it's like, it's awesome. It's great to see. As I say, they could have just done it in a standard steelbook, which is fine. That would have been fine. Well, they've done a lot of titles just on steelbook and standard edition. But the fact that they went, I mean, the packaging and that Blu-ray is worth the money alone, I think. You know what I mean? Whether you ever watch the film or not, which you might never. Oh, sure. Can I take a second to say, like, oh yeah, like, congratulations on the world not ending yesterday.
Right.
Yeah, that was all right, wasn't it?
Aye. But supposedly that speculation was wrong. The Mayans never predicted the end of the world. It was just the end of a cycle, supposedly.
That's what I was saying to people in my work, right? I was like, aliens come to Earth, like, in June, right, of a year. Any year, any given year.
Right.
And they're like, oh, so your world ends on like the 31st of December this year?
Right.
Because that's all we do calendars up to.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're like, no, we do another calendar like around about November time.
Aye.
Right. Oh, right. Why do you not do like hundreds of years in advance? Aye. It's like, because, well, nobody's going to buy that. You know what I mean? No, it was big enough for that.
Right.
It's the same thing. That's what they did. They're like, well, we're not going to fucking probably be there at fucking 2012. So fuck that noise. You know what I mean? Aye, it's bullshit. But anyway, it was quite funny. Right. There's a lot of people. Apparently, there was people phoning up, like talking about getting their pets put down and things like that, spending millions of dollars on bunkers to avoid the apocalypse. I'm sorry. What? Yes, is a bunker going to do you if the apocalypse comes? You know what I mean? I mean, I'm no. I don't know much about apocalypse houses. But I would like to hope in a good apocalypse that, you know what I mean, the bunkers, come bunker or no bunker, you'd be getting fucked. You know what I mean?
Well, are we talking complete decimation of everyone?
I'd hope so.
Right.
You know what I mean? If the world ends. Apocalypse is more of a kind of, I mean, you can get a post-apocalyptic world, right?
Right.
But I'm talking like end of the world, like
we're talking like end of the planet or ecosystem?
End of the planet.
Right. Aye, well, you're fucked in.
Yeah, it's sitting to what is a bunker for you? Or are you just like, well, I might as well try it?
Aye, well.
Alright, no.
I mean, what else can you do?
We're still here, right? Anyway, never mind. So, go for it.
Other ones, there's The Gold Rush from Criterion, Chaplin film. Godard's Weekend from Criterion.
Sure.
Haven't seen it yet, but. I'm sure it's good. No, I love the film, so.
Yeah.
Get it on blue.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, it's just like a matter of it actually being out, you know what I mean? Mm. It's like, it's a big deal.
Other ones, I mean, Hitchcock sets,
that
two box sets.
A big one, and the monster set as well.
Like, aye. Big year for Hitchcock. Double Indemnity, that was one that I'd been wanting on Blu-ray for a while. Wasn't the greatest transfer, but still got it out there.
That's quite happy with Shallow Grave as well.
Oh, aye. Yeah.
That was a nice like surprise. I didn't know much. I mean, I really wasn't into like the Criterion collection before, especially before like had my multi-region player, but before we started doing this, I wasn't really paying much attention to it. So that was a nice surprise to get, you know, that come out and stuff, and that's really cracking.
Aye.
Release. Melancholia, like, blew me away. Like, that was a cracking, like, that was in my first exposure to Von Trier, it was quite epic. Really nice release as well. I mean, really, there has been loads. Oh, Jaws, that's what I wanted to mention.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, talk about restorations and like proper, you know, properly done transfers. For me, like Zombie Flesh Eaters and Jaws stand out as like the transfers of the year.
Right.
Because really, the love and attention that's been committed to those two films, crazy. I mean, in Jaws anyway, like whether it's a shitty version or a good version, one of the best films of all time. So it's been a good year. With that respect, Gary.
Yeah, some stuff like the kid came out there that was among my most wanted list, so that's good off. Thing in the Rain. I was haven't got that yet, but
ordered it.
Yep. Well, Christmas list.
Halloween 2 and 3 released from Shout Factory. Like, personally, I mean, I've been waiting for like, a decent DVD release over here of Halloween 3, which, I mean, we've been given like a 178 of a 240 film or 235 film. And to get like a Blu-ray, and as good as the Blu-ray was for that film, I mean, just can't ask for any better. And again, with similar to Arrow and Marston, it really was given kind of respect, you know, with multiple artwork, things like that. Even Halloween 2, which had just been released the year before, by Universal, and it was given like a new transfer. Well, same transfer but cleaned up.
Right.
I think it was. I mean, that's what you're looking for. You know, you're just wanting like a bit of respect paid to the film. And as a big Halloween fan, I'm like, that's awesome. I mean, we got Halloween 4 and 5. They weren't particularly good transfers. They were serviceable.
Mm-hmm.
Nice to see them come to Blu-ray, but Halloween 2 and 3 definitely stood out. And were high on my kind of want list. Yep.
Right.
So, that's that, Gary. We're all set for the new year, ready for the Christmas presents that will come. And we'll get some new fresh pickups.
Right, mate.
So, there's a small matter of Christmasing this thing up a wee bit. Are we going to sing
it
a song?
Wasn't, yeah, it wasn't that Christmassy, was it?
Oh, I've been very jolly.
Right.
Felt. And I've tried not to slag things off too much.
Mm-hmm.
Not that there's been anything to really slag off, but you know that way. I've been holding back, Gary. And we've got the hat on and the reindeer antler. And we are going to put these photos up on Facebook.
Right.
So to prove to people that we've got the shit going on. You know what I mean? You're not looking very happy about that.
Well, we'll see.
It's happening. So, Gary, we're getting close to wrapping up the podcast. Sorry.
No pun intended.
No. We're getting close to wrapping up the episode.
Right.
No pun intended. And as we, and the year almost, I mean, this is, you know, this is going to be us getting to the new year. Not yet a year for the podcast. However, I have brought us a couple of wee crackers. Christmas crackers, appropriately.
Right.
As opposed to Easter crackers. I thought we could pull these and maybe sharing a present and a joke.
Right.
Jink.
Enjoy the contents.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Well, I never win.
There you go, feel it's been a pleasure.
Well, that's one off two. What are you doing, Gary?
What have we got here?
Is that a yoke?
A joke and a character game.
What? A character game? Sorry, isn't it?
You get a hat there.
Oh, your classic hat, your golden hat.
What's this? It's a padlock.
Oof, that's handy for loading stuff up. Get a key with it.
Do so.
Tookies.
Okay, show this one.
Talkies. You're not very good with that hat. I believe you'll have a joke there with your cracker,
oh, yes.
Gary. Go for it.
What happens when Santa's cat swallowed a ball of wool?
I don't know, Gary. What happens when Santa's cat swallowed a ball of cotton wool?
She had mittens.
Right. Aye.
That's it.
Right, what's the character again?
Draw a head in the section below. Fold the paper on the dotted line to keep your drawing hidden and pass it to the person on your left.
Hmm.
Now they draw the body. Fold the paper again and pass it on. The third person draws the legs and pass it along to be unfolded, revealing the silly drawing. We're only two.
What?
Can we play that game?
No. I just love it. It's like presuming up by a silly drawing. Revealing the silly drawing, which will result in a mountain of laughter. Right, we've got another cracker, Gary. I'm never going to win this. I don't win crackers. How are you winning? How are you dating that, Gary?
Just brute strength.
No, it's not brute strength, it's cheating. I never win. I'm having it this time, Gary. I'm stealing it off you. I've not won in like years. Like years, Gary. It's like a curse.
Oh, aye. Nobody's cheating, like grab the body.
Aye, I know, but that doesn't work sometimes.
Is that right?
You didn't do that there. Did you?
No.
Did you?
I didn't, no.
Right, let's see what we've got. Thanks for donating this half of the cracker to me. I've got a... Oh, fuck. A wee mini screwdriver set. It's all right, isn't it?
Better than the padlock,
isn't it? Handy. No, but how is it better than the padlock?
Can screw stuff with it.
I shan't argue with you, Gary. I've got a red cat. Red crown. Get on your mic. Right. Let's see what we've got here. I've not got a character game at all, Gary.
Really?
No. I have a joke, though. What happened to the lady who stole a Christmas calendar?
I don't know. What did happen to the lady who stole the Christmas calendar?
She got 12 months.
Oofed.
That's right.
That's what I'm talking about.
And with that revelation, Gary.
Right.
With that revelation.
No game. No game at all.
None. No,
just a joke.
I'm no joke. I ain't kidding you. I ain't shaking my ass in your face. I'm just telling you the truth. There's no game. I have one joke, and this is all in a set of screwdrivers.
Shock. I see them.
In cellophane. No, fuck off, you keep them.
Oh, aye.
Did they believe me? In the pocket. Swine. Aye, that's mine. But they're mini, but the flathead screwdrivers aren't mini enough, you know what I mean?
Right.
You can do good work with them.
Aye. Oh.
Good work. Yeah, that wraps up this episode of Cinema Subculture, Gary. What we're going to be looking at in the new year?
On the next episode?
Sure.
Are you referring to?
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, yeah, not the whole of the next year.
I'm doing one of the more legendary video essays, you might say.
Yes. So 20 is going to be?
Evil Dead.
The Evil Dead. Sam Raimi.
Mm.
Bruce Campbell.
Mm.
Yep. One of my faves. Looking forward to this, Gary.
Right. So, we shall return.
Indeed.
2013.
Have a very Merry Christmas. Hope you enjoyed the Christmas episode. I don't know how much Gary's going to leave in.
Right.
I'll tell you there was singing.
Right.
And they can't cut this out, surely. Surely you can't cut this out. There was singing. Gary, you'll admit that.
Yep. Oh, there was definitely singing. So, join us next time on Cinema Subculture. Thanks for joining us, and
Merry Christmas!
It was a nightmare.